Morning. Today's daf is daf Tesvav in Chulin. Starting our third week of Chulin. So we started a new section yesterday, the new Mishnah of the first Perek, Shoch B'Shabbos. A person shechs on Shabbos. So the Mishnah taught us yesterday, it's a very short Mishnah, Shoch B'Shabbos, if you are my keeper, Malfa Pisham, Ischai B'Nav, Shoch Shchitos L'Kshera. So if you shecht on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur, even though you mischayev b'nafsho, in other words, that's a capital crime, right? One of the 39 malachas on Shabbos is shechita, so you violated one of the 39 malachas, and the Mishnah says you did violate a capital crime, but nevertheless, the shechita is going to be a good shechita. Okay, good. It is not by mere coincidence that the Mishnah puts together Shabbos and Yom Kippur, aside from the fact that Shabbos and Yom Kippur have a status, and the same status, and the Torah refers to Yom Kippur as a Shabbos as well. And that's true, but the reason why Shabbos and Yom Kippur are placed into the same Mishnah together is because obviously the Mishnah is trying to make a point. And when the Gemara started off yesterday, the Gemara on the very beginning of Yudal Amud Aleph says, what's the Mishnah driving at? So, Am Rav Huna Darash Chia Bar Rav Mishmei Darav Asur Ba'achila Liyuma. It means that even though the Mishnah says that if you shecht on Shabbos, Shechita is going to be a good Shechita, but nevertheless, for that day, meaning Yom Kippur or Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat it. Now, for Yom Kippur, we all understand Yom Kippur is a fast day. No one's allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. But that's exactly why the Mishnah put Yom Kippur together with Shabbos, because the Mishnah wants to tell us that just like on Yom Kippur, you're not going to be able to eat for the duration of that day. Same thing is true regarding Shabbos. Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat the meat that you shechted for the duration of the day. Now, a number of things that I'm sure Stuart pointed out yesterday in that Mishnah and in the first... And in the comment made by Rav, and that is number one. How are you eating it? You're right. You shechted it. You didn't cook it, right? And cooking is a separate malacha. You're not going to cook it. So Rashi points out that maybe we're discussing a scenario in which you're going to try to eat it raw. Okay, which in of itself carries its own issues. And the other big thing that the Rishonim talk about on the from what we discussed yesterday was, I understand, you shechted on Shabbos, you're mechal Shabbos b'far hesya, right? One of the things that we discussed over the course of the first 2 weeks of Chulin is that certain people are out of the category of shechting. So certain people are just out of the parsha, off the reservation. One of them is a mechal Shabbos b'farhesi, someone who violates Shabbos publicly. So why should the shechita be good? Basically, you had a non-Jew shech the animal. At least in status, the mechal Shabbos b'farhesi is a non-Jew, and he's shechting, and that's not a good shechita at all. So Tosos, all the Rishonim deal with this. Tosos makes a very, very interesting suggestion. Tosfos says it's, you know, you don't become a mummer overnight, right? Just because you shechted one time on Shabbos, that automatically doesn't change your status. You're not a mechal Shabbos b'farhesya. In other words, it takes time, right? Two times, maybe three times, before you start getting a real status of mechal Shabbos b'farhesya. Okay, so good. That was all we discussed yesterday. Now, yesterday's daf and today's daf, for the most part, all revolves around the next statement made by the Gemara. So again, the Mishnah tells us that Yishech on Shabbos, the Shechita is going to be good Shechita. Rav comes along and Rav says, yeah, but you're not allowed to eat it for the duration of that day. I mean, you can't eat from that animal on Shabbos itself, even though the Shechita was a good Shechita. And then the Gemara makes one more statement, which is basically the entire discussion of yesterday's daf and today's daf, and that is, V'nizmin chavrei lameimar Rav Yehudahi. You know, this Mishnah and this idea that you can't eat from this animal for the balance of the day, for the rest of Shabbos, that is all under the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to that. Okay. And then what the Gemara did yesterday and will continue to do today is, who's Rabbi Yehuda? Not who's Rabbi Yehuda. We know who he is, but which positions are we talking about that if based on Rav Yehuda, you're not allowed to eat it for the duration of that day? Okay. And yesterday, so the Gemara went through various different ways of basically saying, you know, Rav Yehuda holds a muksa, right? Basic concept on Shabbos and on Yontif as well, that in order for something to be used on Shabbos or on Yontif, it has to be muchan l'Shabbos, it has to be prepared for Shabbos. And if it's ain't a muchan l'Shabbos, if it's not prepared for Shabbos, the opposite of muchan is muksa. So it's set aside, it's, you know, it's not for Shabbos, right? We didn't designate it for Shabbos. And we know, right, we learned the Gemara in Beitza, and we're going to go back to learn the Gemara in Beitza again, God willing. And we know that there's a basic machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon as to the concept of muksa. And we know that Rav Yehuda tends to be more machmir regarding muksa, so maybe this whole idea that you can't eat the animal for the duration of the day is all founded on, it's built on the platform of muksa. So the Gemara, it's only, right, muksa is only nisa derabbanan, but still, it's a nisa derabbanan, and that's maybe the explanation of why you can't eat for the duration of that day. The Gemara went through various different statements made by Rav Yehuda regarding muksa. However, none of them really match up to our Mishnah and to the shechting of an animal. Okay, that was yesterday's daf in a nutshell. Okay, now we move on to today's daf. So, Elam Ravashi, we're on the top now of Tetzvav Amud Aleph, and this is part two of yesterday. Again, it's going to be the same question that we asked, that we started off with yesterday, but with a new approach. How is it that the Mishnah says that if you shecht on Shabbos, the shechita is a good shechita? Rav comes along and Rav says that you can't eat it for the remainder of the day. And then the Gemara says that that's because Rav subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda. And so now we're going to ask a very simple question. Which Rabbi Yehuda are we talking about? Ella Amar Rav Ashi. So we're in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda de Mavashahi. So it's all, where the Gemara is going to go through an entirely new approach, not to do with Muktza, but rather to do with what we call Maisa Shabbos. Okay, brief introduction. Okay, Maisa Shabbos, right? We know that, right, with 39 Malachas, you're supposed to make sure that we observe with Shamor the 39 Malachas. Okay, and what if one of the Malachas were violated? Meaning any one of the 39 Malachas are violated on Shabbos. So that person who did it obviously has what his issues are, right? If he did a B'mezid, if he did a B'shogeg, okay, fine. So, but we're not going to talk about the person because that's not the discussion of Maaseh Shabbos. The discussion of Maaseh Shabbos revolves around what about the Totsa'ah? What about the result of what he did? What becomes of the result of what he does? Can we enjoy it? Can we not enjoy it? Can we eat it now? Can we have to wait till after Shabbos? Maybe have to wait a little bit of time after Shabbos? Right? This is now the discussion of Maaseh Shabbos. Okay, it becomes complicated only because there are three opinions in the amongst the Tanaim in terms of what is the result of any act that was done on Shabbos. What about the totsa'ah, the result? Can we enjoy something that violated Shabbos in order to make it, in order to produce it? So the three opinions are going to be Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yochanan Sandler. Okay, what the Gemara now is going to do is it's going to introduce us to all three opinions. After we learn all three opinions and we get a good understanding of all three opinions, then the Gemara is going to go back and it's going to say, now that you know that, so now that you understand that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda, and the issue of the Mishnah is Maaseh Shabbos, meaning you violated Shechita on Shabbos. Shechita is one of the 39 Malachas on Shabbos. And so that is going to basically be the setup of the Gemara coming up. Okay, so first of all, let's introduce ourselves to the three opinions. Rav Yehuda de Mevashah, did not have Mevashah b'Shabbos. So here the Braisa starts off with the following. You cook on Shabbos. Again, it's a malach on Shabbos. Obviously, you're not allowed to do it, right? If done b'mezid, if done intentionally, right? It's a capital crime. Okay, Mevashah b'Shabbos. So, b'shogeg, this is going to be Rav Meir's opinion. B'shogeg, if done inadvertently, the person had no malintent whatsoever. He just forgot today was Shabbos, forgot that cooking was usur, knew that he was cooking, but just forgot that it was prohibited to do. So bishogeg yochal. So Rav Meir is of the opinion that you can eat it. And as Rashi points out, and it's going to be pretty clear from the Gemara, even he himself, even on Shabbos. Okay, shogeg, meaning he didn't do anything with a malintent. So he can eat it even on Shabbos. Bemezid, lo yochal. But if he does bemezid, so then lo yochal. Now the Gemara is really not clear. You're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to eat it when? You're not allowed to eat it today, tomorrow, ever, him, other people. So Rashi says like this: bemezid lo yochal. So if he did it bemezid, so Rashi points out iki sur. Now obviously there's iser because he violated Shabbos intentionally. So lo yochol bo bayom achetechshach. So Rashi writes, Rashi's right alongside where we are in the Gemara, that you can't eat it for the remainder of that day until it gets night. Ufich deshe yasu, and Rashi adds another point as well, which is even when you get to the night, when you get to Motzei Shabbos, you got to wait as well. How long did it take to cook that? Right. Let's say he cooked an egg. Okay, not that fancy. Not, certainly not worth being violating Shabbos over. But let's say he cooked an egg. Right. 5 minutes to cook an egg. Okay. I microwave even. No, don't put an egg in a microwave. Okay. So, but 5 minutes to cook an egg. So, after Shabbos, you can't eat the egg. You have to wait another 5 more minutes. This is what Rashi refers to as bichdei sheyase, the amount of time that it takes in order to make it after Shabbos. What's the idea behind this? The idea is very simple. Meaning that since Shabbos was violated in order to produce this, you don't want to benefit from Shabbos one bit. Meaning you don't want to have any gain whatsoever from Shabbos. So on Shabbos itself, obviously, you don't want to eat it because you're gaining from something that was cooked on Shabbos. But even after Shabbos, if you eat it right away, so you've benefited. Because had you yourself had to have made it, you would have had to wait till after Shabbos, and then you take another 5 minutes, probably more because it takes time to boil the water, but take time in order to make the egg. But now that he made it, and you now want to enjoy it after Shabbos, you must wait the amount of time that it took to cook, so you don't get any gain whatsoever for something which is done on Shabbos. Now, now the truth of the matter is, Rashi explains again in Reb Meir that if a person violates Shabbos b'mezid intentionally, not only can you not eat it, nobody can eat it as well. The idea behind Reb Meir is nobody should get any benefit from something that was done on Shabbos. And even when you wait till the evening, I did the tiny ratio. Now, Rashi points out, so stylistically, the second part of Rav Meir's statement, the one who cooks b'mezid, is talking not only about him, it's talking about everyone else as well. But Rashi points out that, okay, that's true, but Rav Meir didn't want to lose the strength of that first statement. The first statement was that if you cook a b'shogeg, even he himself can eat it. Right, that's a strong statement. Meaning, according to Rav Meir, shogeg is nothing. Shogeg is a shogeg. It was totally inadvertent. I certainly had no bad intent in cooking this on Shabbos. So even he himself can eat it. So because Rav Meir wanted to make that point and make that point strong, so even the second statement of Rav Meir b'mezid, so he kept the language of he himself. But the truth of the matter is, says Rashi, is that b'mezid, even everyone else is not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to benefit from something which was done on Shabbos. Good. So let's review. Opinion number one is Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that if you cook b'shogeg, so not a problem. Meaning, obviously you shouldn't have done it, but it was shogeg. You weren't planning on doing it. It was inadvertent. I didn't know today was Shabbos. Okay? I didn't know it was Asar. I forgot. So, shogeg. So if you do it b'shogeg, so everyone can enjoy it, even the person who cooked it himself. If you do it b'mezid, so... you have to wait till
the amount of time
after Shabbos that it took to prepare it, not only for the person who did it himself, but for everyone else as well. Good. We move on. Rav Yehuda Omer b'shogeg yochal b'motzei Shabbos. So Rav Yehuda says that if done b'shogeg, so now you need to wait till after Shabbos. Now, Rashi points out over here, next Rashi that on the page, v'lo b'shabbos v'hu din l'achrini, meaning, according to Rav Yehuda, now, if you cook something on b'shogeg on Shabbos, inadvertently, so now, you gotta wait till after Shabbos, not only you, but everyone else as well. Now, Rashi goes on to explain, what's behind Rav Yehuda? How do you understand Rav Yehuda? Shogeg is not an isser, meaning... Sorry, let me say it again. Shogeg is not an iser skila, right? Even though you cooked a b'shogeg, you didn't. It's not a capital crime. However, says Rashi, avera mi'aika. There's still an avera involved, even b'shogeg. How do I know there's an avera involved? Very simple. What happens when I do something on Shabbos b'shogeg? I got to bring a carbon chatas. I have to be mechaper. Clearly, something I did something wrong. Now, obviously, I had no malintent, but with like we've discussed so many times in the world of shogeg, shogeg doesn't mean I tripped, I fell, it was that shogeg means you knew exactly what you were doing, you just forgot about the circumstances, meaning you forgot that today was Shabbos, or you forgot that it was Asr, but you knew exactly what you were doing, and the liability, the culpability of shogeg is you should have been much more careful. Because you should have been aware that today was Shabbos. So, and Rashi points out that according to Rav Yehuda, if you cook b'shogeg on Shabbos, So you have to wait till after Shabbos. You can't eat it. No one else can eat it. And you also have to wait b'chdei she'asa, the amount of time that it took to cook. Again, Rashi is about to make the same point that he made regarding Rav Meir. Why is Rav Yehuda focusing on him? Why not focus about the other people? Meaning, because according to Rav Yehuda, if you cook b'shogeg, nobody's allowed to eat it for the rest of the day. So again, Rashi is going to give a similar approach that he gave previously. Meaning, because you're going to see in just a moment that there's something special for him in store if he cooks a b'mezin. So, next, let's go on to the next part of Rav Yehuda to see this inside in the Gemara. So the b'motzei Shabbos b'mezin. I'm sorry, b'mezin. What if he cooks a b'mezin? Lo yochol olamis. He himself, when can he eat it? And the correct answer is never. He never is allowed to eat it because since he did a b'mezin, so this is a kenas. This is a fine imposed on that individual. Look, you cooked on Shabbos. You did so intentionally, right? And let's hope and assume that he does tshuva afterwards. It doesn't matter. Part of the fine is that he himself is never to begin any type of benefit of what he did on Shabbos. How about for everybody else? Everyone else will fall back to the regular rule. Meaning the regular rule is you can't get benefit for an issa that was done on Shabbos. Okay? And so fine. So he won't get benefit. The other people won't get benefit. They'll wait till after Shabbos. They'll wait till b'chdei she'asa till after Shabbos. But he himself may never eat it. Okay. Rav Yochanan Hasandler Amar Omer Bishoge Yochal Lamotze Shabbos Lacher Velolo. So there's a third opinion. And each position gets more chamor and more chamor. Each position is a stricter position than the one before. According to Rav Yochanan Sandler, Bishogeg, he himself has to wait until Motzei Shabbos. Yochal Motzei Shabbos, Acherim Velo Lo. Other people have to wait for Motzei Shabbos, but not him. Meaning, for him, never. Bemezid, Lo Yochal Aulamis, Lo Lo Velo Acherim. And what if he does a b'mezin? What if he cooks something b'mezin? So that's it. It becomes usher. It becomes a chefsa shal usher. Rashi points out. Rashi points to other gemaras where other gemaras have exactly this discussion and the three opinions laid out. Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yochanan Sandler. And Rashi points out over here. Rashi's towards the bottom of the thin columns. La mishum kanasahu da'achrina lo avadisura. This has nothing to do with knas, meaning, right, to say that this object now, that the food that he cooked is going to be usur for him and for everybody else, well, what did everyone else do wrong? I mean, they didn't do anything wrong, unless you want to say they were accomplices, but, you know, that's more musr than it is, you know. I'll get to that in just a moment. That's a good question. Ela mikray yalef la Rav Yochanan b'ksuvos b'ela naros b'bakama b'perek meruba. So Rashi says you can look at the Gemara k'suvos, you can look at the Gemara b'bakama. Ushmartem as a Shabbos ki kodesh makodesh asur b'achila af ma'is a Shabbos asurim b'achila. It sounds like, according to Rav Yochanan Sandler, that it's a real bona fide iser da'oraisa. It takes on status of kodesh. Just like kodesh, you're not allowed to eat. Right, you're not allowed to eat carbonola. So this too as well, you're not allowed to eat. Okay, you have no right to eat it. Okay, it sounds like this. And the real iser, a bona fide iser daraisa with this item that was cooked on Shabbos. Okay, three opinions laid out for us: Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yochanan and Sandler. Okay, let's see if we can do this outside just quickly, and then we'll move on. According to Rav Meir. Again, everyone makes a distinction between shogeg versus mezid. Obviously, mezid is going to be more chamor. Let's quickly review. According to Rav Meir, b'shogeg, it's fine. You yourself can eat it. B'mezid, if you cook something b'mezid on Shabbos, so you can eat it for the balance of the day. Everybody else also can eat it for the balance of the day. No one's allowed to get benefit from something that which was done on Shabbos, b'mezid. Right, there was an issur to perform, so therefore you have to wait till after Shabbos. Not only do you have to wait till after Shabbos, but you have to wait b'chdei she'asa. Okay, that's the opinion of Rav Meir. Two, Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that if you cook a b'shogeg, so you can't eat it on Shabbos, nobody can eat it on Shabbos. Right? According to the way Rashi explains Rav Yehuda, right, shogeg is also an isser. So, right, you also violate an isser if you cook b'shogeg on Shabbos. So therefore, you and nobody else are allowed to eat until the end of Shabbos, and even the end of Shabbos, you have to eat b'chdei she'asa. Okay? What if you cook it b'mezid according to Rabbi Yehuda? So everyone else can eat it after Shabbos, right? Why not? Again, they didn't get any direct gain from something that was done on Shabbos, but you yourself, as a kenas, you yourself can never eat it. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And then we get to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says that if you cook it on Shabbos b'shogeg, so you yourself can never eat it. Okay, that's a very harsh position for something that was done b'shogeg. Everyone else can wait till after Shabbos and enjoy it after Shabbos. What if you do it b'mezid? So if you do it b'mezid, so now Rav Yochanan Sandler introduces to us that the food becomes asur min haTorah. Sounds that way from the Gemara's that Rashi quotes. So the food itself becomes asur min haTorah. It's a limud, it's a drasha. The food becomes actual kodesh, forbidden for not only you, but for everyone else, forever, period.
On what basis that when Meir allows
So Tosus points out over here, it's not in Rashi, but Tosus points out over here because it's really I'll put it in two steps. Step number one is that shogeg according to Rav Meir is not an isser. It's true you have to bring a carbon chatas, right? That's true, but Rav Meir will tell you that there was no malintent. The person did not do anything willfully wrong. He should have been more careful, but okay. But that's not. He didn't violate an isser in the sense that there was really no malintent on his part. Two, and this is what Tosfos says, is that Rav Meir does not make a knas of shogeg atumezin, meaning that part of what's behind Rabbi Yehuda is that if he does a b'shogeg and we let him eat it this time, so then he'll get a little more lax. And, you know, last Shabbos, I know I cooked it by accident, but you know what, this Shabbos, and I enjoyed it last Shabbos, so this Shabbos I'll enjoy it as well. So Rav Yehuda's worried about shogeg atumezid, that shogeg is just one step away from being amazing. And Rav Meir, and Tosfos points this out, consistently throughout the Gemaras, like you see it here, Tosfos points to Gemara in Shabbos, Tosfos points to Gemara in Gittin, Rav Meir consistently is not worried about that. Not worried about how shogeg takes us to the next step of amazing. Okay. Obviously, you want to know who we follow, who we paskin like. Okay, so stay tuned because that's a good part of today's daf. Okay, now.
But this has to do. What has to do with Shechita? This is cooking.
Yeah, but this is true by all 39 malachas. The Braisa happens to give the scenario of cooking.
But the thing is.
But Maisa Shabbos applies to all 39 malachas.
Shechita is more complicated than this. It isn't just an act of Shechita, but it's like the whole concept of
Muktzah
and
Shechita. Okay, so fine. So, good. So there will be a confluence of Muktzah and Chilul Shabbos. But right now, the Gemara is just setting it up as an issue of Chilul Shabbos. V'nukma b'mezin v'Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, look, you wanted to plug our Mishnah in. And now that we know all this information, Rav Yehuda is an excellent candidate. Right? I mean, before I read it on the Gemara, I should have made this clear. Okay, so now I will. Right, Rav Yehuda is an excellent candidate because according to Rav Yehuda, if you violate Shabbos, now it happens to be, Ben, you're right, the example of the Braisa was cooking. But okay, but we're talking now about Shechita, which is another Malach of Shabbos. So if you violate Shabbos and you do so b'shogeg, so no one's allowed to eat it for that day, you have to wait till after Shabbos. And then everyone can enjoy it. Everybody can enjoy it. So now it comes out very good that our Mishnah that says that you shecht on Shabbos, the Shechita is good, and then the Gemara brings in the opinion of Rav that says, but you have to wait till after Shabbos to eat it, and then the Gemara says, and that's founded on, that's platformed on the position of Rav Yehuda, and now the Gemara is giving us what seems to be an excellent approach. The reason why you have to wait until the night is because of the issue of Maisa Shabbos. Good.
Said Rabbi Yehuda, that's b'shogeg.
And that would be talking about, very good, that would be talking about if you did a b'shogeg. Right. So now the Gemara says, wait a second. As long as we had known now the three opinions, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yochanan Sandler. So, truth of the matter is, Zakeh fits somebody else into the Mishnah, not Rav Yochanan Sandler. Okay, he's for sure not in the discussion because according to Rav Yochanan Sandler, if you do a b'shogeg, you're never allowed to eat it. And if you do a b'mezid, no one's ever allowed to eat it. So, not Rav Yochanan Sandler. But the Gemara is going to point out now, well, what about Rav Meir? Rav Meir says that if you cook on Shabbos b'mezid, so you and the rest of the world have to wait until after Shabbos. But once Shabbos comes and goes, so then you're allowed to eat it. So can't it be that our Mishnah is going like Rav Meir, and you did a b'mezid? So v'nukma b'mezid v'rameir lo sekadach v'ektan yidom yom kippur ma yom kippur lo shna b'shogeg v'lo shna b'mezid lo achil av hachanami lo shna b'shogeg v'lo shna b'mezid lo achil. Again, the Gemara says no, because I can't say that our mission is going like Rameir, because according to Rameir, there's a fundamental difference which we just spoke about between shogeg and mezid. By shogeg you're allowed to eat it, by mezid you're not allowed to eat it. Our Mishnah is very cut and dry. Our Mishnah says that if you shechtel on Shabbos and it makes no difference whether you do it b'shogeg or mezid, and it doesn't make a difference whether it's you or somebody else, our Mishnah is of the position that you can't eat it for the balance of that day. And part of that is what we mentioned in the very beginning of today's daf. Because in the Mishnah, there are two things listed together. Shabbos and Yom Kippur.
Does Rabbi Yehuda say that you don't eat Yom Kippur?
No.
Now, Yom Kippur, you can't eat for a different reason. It's because it's Yom Kippur.
Yeah, but the thing is, using that Yom Kippur thing against Rabbi Meir, but couldn't you use that against Rabbi Yehuda also? Rabbi Yehuda say you could do it on Yom Kippur?
No, but Rabbi Yehuda will tell you that you're never allowed to eat it on the day itself. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yehuda, on the day that you shechted, you can't eat it, nobody else can eat it, and it doesn't matter if it's shogeg or mezid.
But the thing is, you're saying that this can be according to Rabbi Meir, but mezid.
No. What the Gemara was suggesting, go over it again. The Gemara was suggesting is that we could put in Rav Meir, we could plug in Rav Meir, b'mezid. That we could plug that in. Right. The problem is that that's only true by mezid. But what if it was shogeg? If it was shogeg, you'd be allowed to eat it that day. But then you lose out the point the Mishnah is trying to make. By the Mishnah putting Shabbos together with Yom Kippur, we mean under any and all circumstances, you can't eat it for that day. According to Rameir, that's not true. According to Rameir, you can eat it for that day, notably if you did it b'shogeg.
So it's Rabbi Yehuda, but it's...
So we're left with only one candidate, and that's Rabbi Yehuda. So the lo shna b'shogeg, lo shna b'mezid, lo acham. Okay. Umi matzis mukma la b'shogeg, Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara now is going to point out the following. To set up the Mishnah like Rav Yehuda, that's also not so clear cut. Because if you go back to the Mishnah, it's two lines of Mishnah, you know. But we got to keep going back to it. If you look back at the Mishnah writes, "Afa pishim ischayv benafsho." You're telling me the Mishnah is talking about a case of shogeg. I don't. That doesn't sound that way. No. The Mishnah says you're mischayv benafsho. Mischayv benafsho means you violated a crime, where now your life has to be taken. It's a capital crime. The only time it's a capital crime is b'mezid. That's according to everybody, right? There's no... That's as black and white as things can get. So the Gemara says, Afa pishim eschai b'nasho katani. So how can you tell me that our Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda and we're talking about a case of shogeg when the Mishnah is clearly talking about a case of mezid? So the Gemara says, okay, on that point, we're going to have to do a little bit of reinterpretation of the Mishnah. Okay, we're going to tweak the Mishnah a little bit. Hachi kamer, this is what the Mishnah means. Afapi de b'mezid mischai b'nafsho hu hacha de b'shogeg shchita sukshera. So yeah, you're right. Even though b'mezid, it would be... If you did this act with the intention of violating Shabbos, I don't care about Shabbos, I'm going to violate Shabbos, right? The person's got issues. Right, if you did that, you'd be chayv benafsho. But this person did it b'shogeg. Since this person did it b'shogeg, so he's allowed to enjoy it this evening. Okay. V'nukma k'Rav Yochanan Sanla, d'amar lo shna b'shogeg v'lo shna b'mezid lo achil. So the Gemara makes an attempt. Why don't you say that our mission is going like Rav Yochanan Sanla? But the answer is pretty obvious. Rav Yochanan Sanla k'miflik b'motzei Shabbos l'achem v'lo lo. Tani dedan shchita sok sher katani lo shna lov lo shna la'acherem. Look, the our Mishnah makes a very blanket statement. The shchita is a good shchita, meaning everybody can enjoy the shchita, meaning the person who shechted it can enjoy the shchita. According to Rav Yochanan Sandler, no such animal, no such person, no such violator. I mean, according to Rav Yochanan Sandler, if he did it b'shogeg, if he did it b'mezid, he's never allowed to eat it. So, right, so it doesn't really fit in with the Mishnah, because the Mishnah gives us a blanket. Wow. It's a good shechita. Everyone, including the person who did it himself, can enjoy it after Shabbos. So once again, we're left with only one person. That is Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, good.
Can't the Mishnah be interpreted, there's a potential that it's higher than not?
That's so basically what the Gemara is saying. That's essentially what the Gemara is saying. In other words, could be a candidate, not in this particular case, but you could be a candidate to be Mischayv benafsho. Okay. Okay, very good. So now we have so far what seems to us now a nice setup of how to understand the Mishnah, how to understand Rav's statement, and how it's all platformed on the position Rav Yehuda. Good. Tanit Tanakama de Rav. Hamavash b'Shabbos b'Shogi Yocha b'Meizel Lo Yocha. Okay. The following person, we'll call a Tana. We say Tana over here, we don't mean a Tana, meaning someone of, you know, Tanas in the Mishnayos. Tana over here we mean is somebody who goes over Brisos, somebody who commits to memory a number of Mishnayos and Brisos, and he goes in front of Rav, and he says the following in front of Rav. Hamavash b'Shabbos b'Shogi Yocha b'Meizel Lo Yocha. If you cook on Shabbos, and you do so, b'shogeg, you're allowed to eat it. And if you do it, if you do it intentionally, lo yochal, you're not allowed to eat it. Okay. This time in front of Rav, who is he saying? Whose position is he saying?
Rav Meir.
So the answer is he's saying the position of Rav Meir. Watch Rav's reaction. Umashtik le Rav. Rav turns to his colleague, right, this anonymous Tana, and he says to him, don't ever say that again. I don't want to hear that again. Right now, that's a rough reaction to, well, all he's doing is just resetting over a brisa, and it's absolutely a valid brisa, right? We, because, you know, we just went through it, we just identified that the author of that brisa is Rav Meir. Rav's reaction, you know, to shush him, you know, don't ever say that again, that's rough. So the Gemara wants to understand that. My time amashtik le'ilem amishum desfer like Rav Yehuda v'tanatini k'Rav Meir. So maybe it's because Rav himself holds like Rav Yehuda, and this Tana was espousing the opinion of Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's not justifiable. Mishum desfer like Rav Yehuda mandatini k'Rav Meir mashtik le. Meaning, we know our Tanaim and we know our Amoraim very well. They were in the pursuit of intellectual honesty. So Rav happens to hold like Rav Yehuda. So that means that anyone who comes forward and even utters the opinion of Rav Meir, that means that you have to silence them, right? We don't believe in that, right? We believe in that as long as it's a tenable position, so it's a tenable position and say it's a valid opinion. Rav Meir is more than just a valid opinion; it's Rav Meir. So someone can say, can go in the base medrash and say Rav Meir, va'od, and furthermore, misavah like Rav Yehuda, and just to make sure that we understand that the first suggestion is, you know, in of itself enough to make you wonder. But now the Gemara is going to make a second point, which is the makib apath. It's really the nail in the coffin. I don't know if I want to go there, but the Rav himself, who does he hold like? You think he holds like Rav Yehuda? He doesn't hold like Rav Yehuda. He holds like Rav Meir. The Hamar of Chanan Barami Kimori Lehu Rav Latamide Mar like Rav Meir. V'chidarish Bepirka Darish K'Rav Yehuda. Now this is going to be interesting. I'm going to get a reaction to this, and deservedly. In other words, I understand why I'm going to get a reaction to this. When Rav spoke to his students, right, one on one privately, he said to them, you know, people, the halacha is like Rav Meir, right? In other words, if someone cooks on Shabbos and does a bishogeg, you can enjoy it. It's fine. And if he does so b'mezid, so then you have to wait till after Shabbos. Okay. The halacha is like Rav Meir. But when Rav goes up in front of the audience and he speaks to the hamon am, he speaks to the people and to the populace. So which position does he broadcast? He broadcasts the position of Rav Yehuda. Okay. So privately, tells his students Rav Meir, and then publicly he tells us, you know, he tells the people Rav Yehuda. So
this is the way most of it
becomes. Yeah. I absolutely agree with you. I see that a lot myself. You know, one on one. Correct.
Convenient.
Right. The safer, by the way, all these farm that which are written, which are basically for public consumption, so they always take a not always. They sometimes take a more strict approach, strict position. But that's kind of like what we're seeing in the Gemara, because anytime you write something in the Sefer, it's public. It's for public consumption. So, but when it's printed privately, it goes like Rav Meir. V'chi teima. So now that we know that, so I get it. So maybe the Tana, who was basically saying over Brisa, that did follow like Rav Meir, maybe he was talking to the populace. So the Gemara says, and the Gemara makes that suggestion. V'chitem atana bepirkei, tanakamai, tanakamei, atukuliam, latanatsaisi, laamartsaisi. So the Gemara says, no, that's not how it works. It's just simply not how it works. The Tana doesn't broadcast his brisa to the people. The Tana tells it over to the Rebbe. In this case, the Rebbe is Rav. And then what Rav does, if he wants it to get broadcast to the people, is he'll turn to his human microphone, otherwise known as the Amora. Right? That's what an Amora is. Amora is Omer. He is a human microphone. And he'll broadcast it to the people. So it's the Tana talking to Rav. It's not the Tana broadcasting it to the people. So, good. So we're kind of stuck now. Let's go over what just happened. Somebody comes over to Rav. Someone says to Rav, I'm a Vashem B'Shabbos. Right? I'm a Vashem B'Shabbos. B'Shogeg Yochal B'Mezel Lo Yochal. So a Tana went over to Rav and said over that Braisa. And Rav shushed him. And the Gemara says, and I don't understand that. What is he shushing for? Number one, just because someone holds like Rav Meir and Rav necessarily doesn't, may not necessarily do, that's the reason to shush. And number two, and more fundamentally, Rav agrees with Rav Meir, fundamentally. So why is he shushing him? So listen to the Gemara. So, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Tana Shochei Tana Kamei Derav. HaShochei B'Shabbos B'Shogeg Yochal B'Mezel Lo Yochal. So, yeah. So then now we get to your issue. So, you know what happened? Instead of the Tana saying HaMavasha B'Shabbos, somebody who cooks on Shabbos, Tana says HaShochei B'Shabbos, somebody who shechs on Shabbos. So, good. Sounds like the same thing. Meaning, right? It's basically the same idea. I violate a malacha on Shabbos. And so it would seem to be that it doesn't matter what malacha it is, the position would be a consistent position. If you do some b'shogeg according to a mayor, you can eat it on Shabbos itself. Or you can enjoy it on Shabbos itself. Right? Whatever the malacha is. And if it was done b'mezid, so you can't enjoy it whatsoever. And I'm sorry, you can't enjoy it on Shabbos. And if you're Rav Yehuda, and so forth and so on. Meaning, what difference does it make which malacha it is? And that's what the Tana was thinking. And the Tana just took out the word Hamavash and replaced it with Hashochet. And along comes Rav and says, not so fast. Amalei Maidaitech Karameir, meaning, obviously you think that this would work according to a mayor, that if you shecht on Shabbos, everybody can eat it, and if you do it so amazing, you have to wait till after Shabbos. Ad kan lo kasher a mayor ela b'mevashel deray lachus. No. If I cook on Shabbos, I can eat it on Shabbos, according to a mayor, but that's because even before cooking, I can enjoy it, I can chew it. Right, let's say it's beans, raw beans. I don't know. Maybe it's not a good example. Let's say it's meat. Okay, still raw meat. Right, you cut it thin enough, and yeah, right. You could chew on it. So, in other words, it is edible. So, I don't recommend it. Right, we've got some bacteria issues, but still, it's edible. In other words, when it comes to mabishal, there's no other issue. There's no mitigating factors, and there's no problem muksa. Aval shochei dein ray lachos lo. But when you're talking about shechting, prior to the shechting, can you chew on this piece of meat? No. The piece of meat is attached to a live animal. You can't. In other words, there's not only the issue of Maisa Shabbos, there's also the issue of Moksa. Okay. Now the Gemara says, but wait a second. You're telling me now that if I shecht an animal on Shabbos, so even according to Rav Meir, you're going to have issues because of Moksa. Wait a second. Let's go over every point that we made in order to get us to this point in time, and you realize that's difficult. Because the Hamas leads into Shochidhu, because go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about shechting. The Amar of Unabrei Rabbi Chiyaba Rav Mishmei Rav Asur Ba'achil Aliyume. And then Rav made the statement that you're not allowed to eat it for that day, but after that day you're allowed to eat it. V'nizben Chavir L'meimah Rav Yehudahi. And then the Gemara says that this statement to Rav is built on, it's platformed on the position of Rav Yehuda. Meaning because Rav Yehuda says that if you violate Shabbos, Maisa Shabbos, so you cannot enjoy it for the rest of that day, neither you nor anybody else, So we said that the Aramish is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Now what does that mean? So just all you need to do now is just go one step further than what we've said. Ha Rabbi Meir Sharei. That means that if you were the position of Rabbi Meir, you would not be agreeing with our Mishnah, and that would mean that you'd be allowed to eat it that very day. Okay. So now, all this brings us now to a basic question. How are you, according to Rabbi Meir, how are you allowed to eat it that day? Right? Let's think this through. It's a powerful question. How in the world are you allowed to eat it that day? Meaning, I understand that according to Rav Meir, Maisa Shabbos b'shogeg, if you violate Shabbos, but unintentionally, inadvertently, so fine, so he doesn't consider that to be an Isser. And you're allowed to enjoy that very day. But there are basic issues of Moksa, which Ben raised at the very beginning of today's daf, right? The animal, while alive, not allowed to eat it. You can't say it's Mukhan or Shabbos, it's prepared for Shabbos, it's not. It's an animal, it's a live animal. So how do you get around the Moksa issues? So the Gemara says, Kisha Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, okay. So we're going to give a little more context to the scenario. Kisha Rav Meir, Kigon Shai Lachola Mibel Yom. So the Gemara says, here's how we're going to circumvent the Muksa issue. It is Mukhan. We are looking at this live animal, and we're saying that, yeah, this live animal is set aside for Shabbos. How can that possibly be? Right, as we discussed at the end of yesterday's daf, muksa machmas iser, meaning it would require me to shecht the animal in order to eat it. Shechting is an iser, so this is called muksa machmas iser. How are we doing it? You have someone in your house who's really sick. So in other words, for this person who's really sick, and he was sick going into Shabbos. So in other words, while going into Shabbos, I set aside the animal, and I have this animal basically on hold. Right, the animal's on call. And the animal is now ready, if necessary, to be shechted for this person. And that's not an iser, right? Shechting for a sick person is a mitzvah.
Why couldn't the animal be shechted before Shabbat? If you know that you're going to go into Shabbat and they're going to need it.
Yeah, but it could be, but we're talking about Shochet b'Shabbos. We're talking about shechting on Shabbos.
No, but I'm saying that if you're going into Shabbat, you know that the guy is sick.
Right.
So when the Shechita Friday afternoon before Shabbat starts? I mean, you said that if you could have done something before Shabbat, you should
Correct. I guess we're talking, it's a very fair question. I guess we're talking about a case where he didn't know or just didn't need it right now.
The thing is that you're saying they actually had a designated.
Yeah.
He actually knew.
Yeah, you're right.
That's how you get by the Moksa point.
You're right. Okay. Question's good. I'll leave the question alone. It's a good question. So, Kigon Shayla Chola Mibo Yomi Hachi Mai Tamid Rav Yehuda Daaser Kigon Shayla Chola Vivri. So, and then, how do you understand Rav Yehuda? So, the way you understand Rav Yehuda is that going into Shabbos, he was sick, and so the animal was on call, so that took care of the Muksa issue, but then the person got better. And now, once the person got better now, so that's it, we no longer need the animal. So the Gemara says, if I shecht for a sick person on Shabbos, so even a healthy person can enjoy it. If I cook for a sick person, I'm thinking about the conclusion. If I shech for a sick person on Shabbos, it is also for a healthy person to enjoy it. If I cook for a sick person on Shabbos, it's mutla bari. So my taima. So the Gemara says, what? Why? So hi ra'ila chos v'hainu ra'ila chos. So the Gemara says the difference is an issue of muksa, because an animal, a live animal going to Shabbos is muksa for everybody else. Meaning, if you're not sick, that animal was not on call for you. It was that animal was only on call for the person who was sick. You can't enjoy that animal because for you, the animal was muksa. However, if it's an issue of cooking, even before the food is cooked, you can still chew on the food. The food is not muksa. So Amar Papa Pamim Shashochem Motor Kigon Shayilo Cholam Ibaod Yom. Sometimes, if I shechting would be okay not only for the sick person but for everyone else as well. When would that be the case? When the person was sick going into Shabbos. Since the person was sick going into Shabbos, and since the animal now was on call for that person, so the animal now is mukhan, not muksa but mukhan. And sometimes mevash would be also kigosh shekitzes lo dalas. Sometimes cooking on Shabbos would be for the cooking for a sick person would be asa for healthy people. When would that be the case? When I would have to cut the pumpkin. The way Rashi explains it, although Tosfos doesn't like Rashi's pshat, the way Rashi explains it is I cooked the pumpkin off the ground, meaning the pumpkin was attached to the ground and I had to cut off the ground. That for sure, for the chola, again, you do everything for the chola. But for the healthy people around, that pumpkin was muksa. Okay. Amar of Dimi Minar Adai Hilchasa. Now, interesting, it's so interesting. On the issue of Maisa Shabbos, the Gemara does not come to a definitive conclusion. Meaning, we have three opinions, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yochanan Sandler, and the Gemara discusses, the Gemara tells us what Rav's own psak halacha was, but but as far as which position we take la halacha, the Gemara does not say. On this issue of cooking or shechting for a sick person, that the Gemara takes a very definitive conclusion on. The Gemara says, I'll come back to Maisa Shabbos at the end of the daf. So Amar Rav Dimi Minar Da Hilchasa Hashoche Lechol B'Shabbos Mutal Bari B'Motzei Shabbos. So if I shech for a sick person on Shabbos, so after Shabbos, anyone can eat from that shechita as well. My taima. I'm sorry. Mutal Bari B'Umtsa. Sorry. A healthy person can enjoy even on Shabbos as well, meaning chew it raw. Now, obviously, not cook it, but chew it raw. My time came into Yeshalech Zayis Basa Below Shchita, Ki Kashachet, I died to the Chol Kashachet. Because the Gemara gives a great, great Svara. Because Shchita is one act. Now, it's true that for the Chola, I only need one little piece of meat. But the only way to get to that one piece of meat is to do that act of Shchita. Okay, so I didn't increase any more Chilul Shabbos for the healthy people. So for them, enjoy. Meaning if they want to eat some of the meat of that animal, although they can't cook it, so I don't know how much more enjoyment we're talking about, but even for the healthy people, enjoy. If you cook for the sick person on Shabbos, so a healthy person who is right there in the same room tending to the sick person cannot enjoy that food. Why not? Very simple, says the Gemara. Because if you see the healthy person eating it as well, so you, the cook, are going to say, you know, I'm going to cook for the sick guy, and I'll throw in a little bit more for the healthy guy as well. Right? He's doing so much more. He's tending to the sick guy, and so I'll add a little bit in for him. So the Gemara says, so as a precautionary, as a gzera, so you can't... if you cook for a chole, the healthy person cannot enjoy that food. Okay, so quick wrap up of today's daf. So that's it. We finished the sugya. So the Mishnah on Yudal Amidav says that if you shech on Shabbos or in Yom Kippur, even though you're mischayev v'nafsho, the shechita is going to be a good shechita. So Rav says, but you can't enjoy it for the balance of that day. You have to wait until after Shabbos. Rashi introduced this to us to the concept of Bichtei Shiasi. You have to even wait the amount of time that it took to do the act. Shechita is not that much time. Bishul would obviously take more time. And then the Gemara...
cutting it up.
Right. And then the Gemara introduced us to what if you violate Shabbos, Maaseh Shabbos, three opinions, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yochanan Sandler. Rav, we know, for the public consumption, Paskin like Rav Yehuda, privately told the students to go like Rav Meir. The Gemara went off on a tangent in terms of what if I cook or shech for a sick person on Shabbos? Can healthy people enjoy it? The halacha is that right, if it's the act of cooking, no. If it's the act of shechting, yes. Whatever benefit you're going to get. What about what? Let's go back to Maaseh Shabbos. What is in fact the halacha? So again, Rav for the public told everyone to like the halacha is like Rav Yehuda. The Shulchan Aruch goes like Rav Yehuda, that you have to wait till after Shabbos, assuming it was done b'shogeg, and the Gaon, I believe, I'll check it up again. The Vilna Gaon says that if the chil that was done was an Issa Daraisa, so then we should follow like Rav Yehuda. But if the chil that was done, the Issa that was done was only an Issa Darabanan, so then you can be lenient like the position of Rav Meir. Okay. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Tomorrow we start a new topic in Chulin, and that is what you can shecht with, right? We talked about who you can shecht, we talked about when you can shecht, and tomorrow we'll talk about what object you can shecht.